You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well.
Have you ever seen those videos where package thieves get punked? You know, one minute they're stealing what appears to be an Amazon package from some poor victim's porch. The next minute they're back home opening the package only to get hit with a glitter bomb and fart spray. Have you ever thought, wow, I wish someone would do that, but for car thieves? Well, have I got the movie for you. My name is Marco and I've gathered some partners in crime tonight to discuss 4x4, the new thriller from Argentinian writer-director Mariano Con. Tonight's usual suspects are Gianmarco.
Hey.
The puppet master himself, Danny Doggett.
Car thief Doggett.
And your friendly neighborhood movie reviewer, Spider Mike.
Hey, guys.
So 4x4 wastes no time establishing its premise, so I won't either. Movie starts with a thief named Ciro, played by Peter Lanzani. He spots the titular 4x4 SUV parked on the street of a not particularly good neighborhood. Ciro jimmies the lock, hops inside the car, steals anything of value, then, just to be a dick, he pisses on the back seat, which I guess makes him the wet bandit of Argentina. So, Ciro does this with a speed and efficiency that lets us know he's done this many times before. Everything's going to plan until he realizes he's locked inside the car. You see, this isn't just any 4x4 SUV. It's an elaborately designed trap. The car is soundproof, bulletproof, and the windows are mirrored glass, so nobody can see or hear Ciro trapped inside. Now he's got to survive several days inside an SUV with no one to keep him company except the voice of a mysterious madman who calls himself Dr. Ferrari. Turns out Dr. Ferrari has been the victim of many robberies. He's mad as hell and he's not taking it anymore. So he engineers this death trap of a car to teach thieves like Ciro a deadly lesson. I'm not giving anything away. That's literally the first 15 minutes of the movie.
Pretty much.
The question I have for you guys is, did you enjoy this ride or not for the remaining 75 minutes?
Yes. Yes, very much. I'm a sucker, personally, for any movie, that deals with a character in a confined space trying to escape, whether it's, you know, what was the Ryan Reynolds movie? Buried?
Yeah, Buried.
And it kind of, this movie reminded me of, I don't know, you guys remember this one, it was a guilty pleasure of mine, the Joel Schumacher classic Phone Booth with with Colin Farrell and was it Kiefer Sutherland?
That was my first thought.
Yeah, it's kind of like an updating of that. It's Phone Booth with a car. And second, I love a story where it kind of deals with morality, who's right, who's wrong, because neither of these guys are, you know, world-class leading citizens. They both got some dirt on them. But at the end of them, you're just kind of like, damn, I used to feel bad for Ciro, but now Dr. Ferrari brought some information. Now I'm like, now who do I root for?
And it's hard to feel bad for one or the other, because Ciro takes a piss in the car pretty much immediately, and you're like, should I feel bad for this guy at all? I don't know.
Yeah, for me, and then, like, further, you know, information comes out about Ciro that I don't want to give anything away, that, you know, once, you know, Dr. Ferrari starts fucking with him, you just kind of go, oh, come on, man, you can let him out, can you get him a drink, can you get him some food, the poor guy, he's suffering. So for me, personally, I had a ball with it. It's a very fun exploitation-esque kind of film. It's both a slow burn, but once it picks up, it picks up. Like, it doesn't, pun intended, let its foot off the gas for a second. So I personally had a ball with it. But what about you guys?
I agree a lot with what you're saying, to be honest about it. I actually looked up a little bit of the production on this, and it turns out two of his biggest influences were both of those movies that you just mentioned.
Oh, mm-hmm. Wow, I'm good.
And
look at that.
Also, it's based on something that happened to a real guy at one point. A guy tried to steal a car and got stuck in it in Brazil, apparently.
No shit.
And so he based that. I doubt it was like for torture or something. He probably just got locked in the car in general.
Kind of right. Thing. Yeah, his dumb ass got locked inside the car. And of course, everyone's just laughing at him now.
Okay, guys, I forgot my keys. Can you help me out, please? Please.
I mean, you hear about this from time to time, about guys who end up getting trapped inside the very store they're trying to rob because they're morons.
Oh, those are amazing. I think one of my favorites is like a guy robbing a pawn shop and the owner locks it just before he tries to get out. And then they beat the shit out of him. But yeah, it's kind of like that, to be honest, though. It's just like, it's watching a guy, it's like a Schadenfreude thing. It's like, how much do you care about Ciro is really what it is, what the movie's trying to ask of you, as well as, like, you know, Dr. Ferrari's side of it. It's like, who is really, like Jean-Marc was saying, it's like, who's really right in this situation? Like, is it fucked up that, you know, that Ciro's trapped in here with very little to do other than talking to a cricket kind of thing? And
Pinocchio reference, perhaps?
Possibly. But then there's, you know, Dr. Ferrari side of it, like Marco was saying, is like, he's had a lot of terrible things happen to him, and he got so fed up, you know, with it that he felt like he had to do this. But also, it's there's a lot of suspension of disbelief that you have to go through for a lot of this movie.
Yes.
Because it's like, I soundproof the car. I'm like, but did you bass-proof the car? Because I'm pretty sure somebody would know that a guy's in there.
Look, man, I've seen people making out in the backs of cars. Those things move.
Yeah.
Even if you can't hear anything, if he's kicking the fucking window, that car is, look, this is one of those rare cases where if you see this car a-rocking, please come a-knocking.
Exactly.
Because I'm trapped in this motherfucker.
Look. Guys, all bets are off the second this guy uses a tennis ball to break into this car.
That was some
like,
James
the moment
Bond
that happens, it's like, this is a whole different reality.
Yeah, I was like, what did he do with that tennis ball that just opened that door?
What was that tennis ball made out of?
You guys never saw
of,
that stupid video where somebody uses a tennis ball to unlock a door, then you research it and you find out, no, they're just unlocking it with a key, they're not using a tennis ball.
Oh,
it's like that.
Okay.
Oh, that's for real?
That's neat.
Okay.
Also, by the way, if you
No, it's an internet myth. There's an internet myth that you can use a tennis ball to break into a car. It doesn't actually work. But for this movie, sure. I was also going to say, it's really interesting to see what would happen if somebody tried to break into the Batmobile. So that was pretty cool.
It kind of is what's happening, to be
honest. Pretty much is the Batmobile.
Like, he's constantly trying to find ways out, and there's, like, little things here and there that, like, would be obvious. Like, would be good ways to get out of a normal car, but Dr. Ferrari spent a lot of fucking money making this thing inescapable.
Yeah, who made this? Lucius Fox?
Yeah, the point of that being, so I can hear you guys saying you had trouble deciding, like, man, what's the morality of this? And I didn't have that issue. Maybe I'm just a scumbag. But the entire time I'm watching this movie, like, this punishment doesn't match the crime. You're kind of a sicko. You're Jigsaw, but richer.
Yeah, that is sort of the thing that happens here. And I think there is a kind of transference, as Jamarco was suggesting, where we're kind of sympathizing with one guy. And then Mike also brought this in, that towards the end, you kind of feel for Dr. Ferrari a little bit, because we do get to know these guys a little bit better over the course of the film. At the beginning, we know nothing about these guys, but we do find out some background. And yeah, it really does feel like the punishment does not fit the crime. And here's the thing that I have to be careful about, because I don't want to go into spoilers. I told you what the first 15 minutes are. That's the first half of the first act. Then act two comes in, where he's been there a while, and there's like a weird fake out that only serves to extend act two needlessly. Until we get into act three, and it kind of becomes a different movie altogether. And I think that movie was better, but you didn't need all the contrivance of the first two acts to get to that third act.
I agree with you. And the way I see it, just to pick on one of your points, Marco, I don't think, you know, it was Ciro specifically. I just think if anyone broke into this guy's car, anybody could have got it. Ciro was at the wrong place at the wrong time.
Yeah, no, he knew nothing about the guy. In fact, we even see when Ciro's in the car, some other guy tries to rob it. Except the difference is this time he stopped. And we also see how that guy is treated, because the neighbors, when they catch him, they are pissed. You realize that this is something that happens in this neighborhood all the time. And that's really where the movie tries to make that argument for, like, yes, this is a bad thing that's happening to this guy, but everyone in this neighborhood has been a victim of it, and they're sick of seeing these guys doing whatever they want, stealing whatever they want, and then the justice system just spits them back out onto the streets.
That sounds familiar.
But there's a difference between street justice and trapping and holding somebody prisoner, though. The more this movie went along, I gotta be honest, the less I felt for the doctor. And there's a point where it's like, no, you're just a crazy person, and you're self-entitled, and you're being self-righteous, and I don't like you, and I hope terrible things happen to you.
I agree with Doug in the sense that the longer it goes on, the more you're just like, dude, what the fuck kind of thing. And there's a lot of, to bring up that point about, you know, this happening to people all the time, I'm a big fan of the very first shot in this film, which is just a series of, like, alarm signs and, like, things people do. Like, like the broken bottles on the top of, like, a stone fence. Like, I've seen that in real life.
Yeah, I thought that was Mexico, and then I was like, oh, they do that in Argentina, too.
Yeah, apparently, because my grandpa did that with one of his fences, like, years and years ago. And so I saw that, and I was like, oh, that's neat. And then, like, there's a lot of different signs. They're like, this is protected by this. I think my favorite was this building's protected by Jesus Christ or something kind of thing. And it's just like, but yeah, it shows that, yeah, this is a very crime-ridden area, and these people feel that, like, it's like this guy robbing this thing is a normal occurrence. Like, he even brings up some stuff later down the film when he's like staring outside the window of different scenarios in his head that just shows how much he's done something like this.
Yep.
And then, you know, with Dr. Ferrari doing some weird ideas to keep this guy alive kind of thing as it progresses. And it's just weird. Like, I really enjoy the film, but honestly, in my opinion, the third act was kind of random, almost. Yeah. Like I was really enjoying the whole, like, phone booth buried, like, stuck in this thing, and then the third act happens, and you're just like, what the fuck just happened?
Yeah, because once the big finale happens, you're just like, whoa, what the fuck? It had to go
there?
That's
when the doctor goes to true supervillain mode.
Well, the third act is where it's trying to establish its thesis, but they had this elaborate setup, where it's like, you could have had this movie play out more or less the same if the doctor just caught the guy while he was trying to steal his car.
Pretty much.
That could have been the movie right there, and you would have still had all of the societal questions.
Guys, that costs money.
Well, no, but the movie would only be 30 minutes long.
Hey, what are you doing? Oh, crap.
You son of a bitch, I'm holding you hostage. How dare you try to steal my car?
This nice SUV.
Which I did appreciate that they kind of made up a fake logo.
Yeah.
It's like the SUV called Predator.
Oh.
And, you know, you could see, like, the logo. I think it was like a Toyota or Nissan or whatever. They kind of changed the hood ornament to look like a monster or an animal.
I was laughing at the fact it was called Predator.
You're already told, like, this car should be somehow threatening.
Oh, I get it, because the doctor's a predator. Smart.
It's also a nice way to get around the fact that they probably didn't pay any money to the manufacturers of the car to use it so prominently.
That wasn't even really their car. They actually broke into it for the filming.
And they got trapped, unfortunately.
They destroyed the car. This is one of those movies where they obviously are keeping the budget under control because they just have, like, one location and the car within that location. Half the budget is like, we bought a car, now we're going to fix it up, and we are going to destroy it by the end of the movie.
From the inside.
From inside and out, that car is going to be destroyed.
Yeah. Now, okay, is that real, though? Like, we saw a smoke cloud. I don't know if we saw a car explode.
There's some dodgy CGI here and there.
There's one shot that they clearly, like, damaged a car of some kind. But there's one thing I really want to talk about the most about this movie is that the cinematography within the car works really well.
It's
like,
so
you can
good.
See him really well, but you feel that sense of claustrophobia the same way he is. I couldn't look away, like, the entire time.
The one thing I kept saying whenever I watched this movie, I was just like, God damn it, these foreign directors are so better at directing than us. Like, they know how to move a camera way better than, like, you know, most American directors do, and I was just impressed by, like Mike said, how confined you were in this space, and yet how much there was to explore in this tiny little SUV.
I think that's a function of filmmakers acknowledging that they have a limited budget, but they can get a car, and you know they had to have taken the doors off, the windows off, the panels off to get some of those angles. And I'm not kidding, you're going to spend a lot of time in this car. And it's one of the interesting things, like Mike was saying, it's really well shot. As Jamarca was saying, it was also very claustrophobic. You guys are absolutely right. but it's also got the sort of banal horror in that we've all seen the inside of a car. That's nothing new. It's like a place we spend every day of our lives in. But to see it from those angles, from that perspective, kind of gives it a whole other flavor, because it's suddenly, if you're trapped in a car and you're thinking like, well, what can I do to survive? How can I get out? Where are the access points? What items in the car exist that I could maybe use to break out? It's a really smart way of using that space to tell a story effectively on a limited budget. And like you guys are saying, they get really good angles out of it, just because no one hardly ever shoots those angles from inside of a car.
That's a really good point, Marco, because, well, I was going to say that, you know, if you're an Uber or a Lyft driver who just got off work and you're just looking for a nice movie to watch for a change of setting, don't watch this movie. You're not going to get that.
If I have to see the inside of another car again.
God damn it. I hope he's not driving an SUV either.
Well, why don't we start wrapping up into our final thoughts here? Jamarco, go ahead and lead off, please.
Hey, so 4x4, case in point, as you heard these gentlemen say, including myself, it's a fun... How long is this movie? It's about like, not like an hour.
90 minutes.
An hour and a half.
Hour and a half. Yeah, it's a good 90-minute thriller, suspenseful. Like I said, I kind of like modern exploitation. It's like simple premise, you know, boom, bam, boom. Here's what happens. Here's what doesn't happen in some cases. I don't want to give spoilers away. So for me, I had a really good time with it. Some of the... I wouldn't say scares, but some of the big shocks really affected me. The characterization really worked for me. And the one thing I kept saying, it's only a matter of time before America catches wind of this and they make a version that is not as good.
Starring Colin Farrell.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say, Dr. Ferrari kind of looks like Bruce Willis. So I was like, God damn it. There it is. So for me, I'm giving it 7.5 chocolate bars out of 10.
Dog it.
Well, guys, I'm really glad we all found a film to enjoy together.
Finally.
I gotta admit, I was enthralled the entire time. Because, I don't want to admit this, but being trapped inside a car is legitimately a fear of mine. Mm. I don't know why, but just the idea of being
that... it's a fear of mine too, actually.
It's just not a pleasant idea for me. And then watching what this guy goes through is that moment of, ha, that's what you get. And then day 3, it's like,
oh, fuck.
My God, somebody get this piece of shit out of here. But no, seriously, you guys, if you're just watching, looking for a chill movie to watch, you should try this. So I'm going to give this 8 out of 10 Spanish Thanoses. Because don't tell me that guy didn't look like Spanish Josh Brolin.
Yes, yeah.
That's fair, actually, yeah.
Okay. On that note, Mike?
I really, really enjoyed this movie a lot. I was enthralled the whole time. Like Doggett, I actually do have a fear of being locked in a car. But there are rational reasons for that. People have died for being locked in their own cars before. But the Peter Lanzani is amazing. Like he sells a lot of what's happening to him, as well as a lot of like him sort of slowly shutting down. He sells that really well. And how do you say this name? Dottie Bravia, I assume?
I think that's how it is.
Who plays the doctor?
Spanish Josh Brolin?
That's Jose Brolin, Doggett.
I believe that's Jose Brolin.
Jose Brolin. Enrico Fiati. He is really, really menacing just over the phone. But yeah, he's really like, yeah, that doctor's really good. Like the entire time, every time he calls, you're just sort of dreading what he's going to talk about.
Anytime the speakerphone came on, you're like, oh shit, what now?
And also you're like, man, that thing has really good Bluetooth. Yeah, like the entire time, like, yeah, you're just enthralled. You're wondering what's going to happen. Like you're not sure if he's going to get out. You're not sure if, you know, if he's not going to get out, well, what's going to happen next kind of thing. And then the third act happens, and I'm not going to lie, like, I didn't hate the third act, but it happened a little too fast, I think, for me,
mm-hmm.
kind of thing. And then when it ended, it does try to do the whole, you know, like, what do you think kind of thing. Also, like, if anybody's watching, whoever watches it, don't, like, immediately close it once the credit starts, because there's, like, a quick sequence right afterwards. But it's just another, like, you know, like, what do you think kind of thing. I would have to give it 8 out of 10 kids in scorpion outfits.
Well, I got to echo something you said, Mike, because we didn't talk about it enough early on. And you're right. Peter Lanzani as Ciro really does great work in this. I mean, he is trapped in that car. he's in practically every shot of the movie, and he really has to do a lot just by himself. And he goes through a whole arc stuck in a car. I mean, it must not have been a very comfortable job to be crammed in a car hours on end while you're being filmed. But he makes that character sympathetic, even though from the very beginning he's presented to us as just like this thuggish, you know, moron. But by the end, you do definitely feel for him, and you do see how he's broken down. And Dery Breva, as Dr. Ferrari, really is kind of creepy and menacing while doing that very soft-spoken, very voice-of-reason type of character. There's also another character who comes in that I enjoyed very much, Luis Brandoni, as the police negotiator.
Oh, he was awesome.
Very good, solid work from everybody. The thing is, like I said earlier, two-thirds of this movie is a genre film, and the final act is kind of this social critique drama, and I feel like it took way too long to get to that third act. I feel like a lot of this time could have been compressed, or they could have just skipped the genre trappings and gone straight to the social statement that they were really trying to get to in that third act. I didn't get the genre payoff that I expected based on the first two-thirds of the movie. So that last act feels like it came in from a movie that is equally good, or maybe even better, but probably not in the same genre as the first 60 minutes of the film. That bifurcation kind of threw me out of the movie a little bit, but I give it a lot of credit for really sharp direction and cinematography, really good use of a limited interior, and what's essentially a solo performance with the occasional guest star coming in to talk to the poor schmuck stuck in the car.
Yeah.
I have to give this 7 out of 10 crickets that maybe represent his conscience.
When they make the American version, I really look forward to the casting of Billy Zane as the doctor.
Who's going to play Sirio?
They're just going to get Ryan Reynolds again. Keep locking him in things.
But it's a car, Ryan.
They trick him this time. They're like, yeah, just get in here. We'll drive you somewhere. And then they just lock the door and start recording.
That's right. He's like in a box again. God damn it.
Tom Hardy, you've been inside of a car for 12 hours for.
That's right. Right. It's Tom Hardy. I'm trapped inside the car.
Jesus Christ. Help me. I need to get out.
Look, if you've been inside of a car without any fucking air conditioning 3 days and you've been yelling nonstop, you're going to end up sounding like Bane by the end of the night.
Lock your doors, everybody.